Hello, and welcome to the Just Interesting podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome to one and all joining us live on YouTube as we record this, broadcast this, live to all our lovely viewers and later date listeners on a podcast platform of your choice. With me, Robin, today is Martin. How are you?
Hello, bonjour. Yes, pretty good, thank you. Pretty good. The whole issue with the clock saying back and going forward, and I've survived it.
That's well done.
That's a positive.
I'm afraid one of us hasn't survived it today.
There's
no Alex today because the clocks have just confused him so much.
He'll be here in an hour. I'm not even sure if that's right. I always get really confused. But anyway, yes, he's on the wrong time. He's on Scottish time, of course.
Yes, which is a time unto itself. They're so fiercely independent these days. They've created their own time.
Yeah,
And no one knows how it works, including Alex.
No, exactly. So that's him. Yeah. But I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. I interrupted you. I realized I asked you how you were, and I interrupted you. I'm right. Similarly confused by the time zone. See, it's not a time zone.
You're just
change.
Tired.
We just moved the clocks. are you excited to talk about TikTok?
Oh yes,
yes,
I am. I am. I'm interested. Because of the ramifications of this, and it's political, isn't it? But there's also some what I think are potentially legitimate privacy concerns wrapped up in a complicated geopolitical wrapper.
Oh, Martin, I love it when you talk geopolitics. It gets me all excited inside.
Well, we shall see. I mean, it's an interesting one, and even for people that aren't on TikTok, I know that perhaps some of our audience is, some of it isn't. It's still interesting, regardless. Because the ramifications it has. Are you interested? Are you excited?
I'm very interested to hear what you say about this. Ooh. Everything you just said has got me even more excited. For those reasons, it's a kind of feels like something that they've been talking about for years, and I've always been a bit like, sure, that'll never happen, and now it might be happening. And of course, what kind of precedent will it set? Also, I've been very aware that as people who have a presence on social media and do stuff for YouTube and podcasts, and we're on Twitter, TikTok, we should probably get involved in TikTok. And I've resisted for years just because like a 50-year-old man, I just don't understand it. And now the government may have made my decision for me, so it's fine. It's all right. Yeah. I'm absolved of that failure to communicate. I also want to know what people listening to us think. And if you're joining us live, I see there's a bunch of you in the chat already. Thanks for joining us. Please do share your thoughts as we discuss the governmental decisions, not just one government, but many governments' decisions to ban TikTok in some form or another. The reasons why, as well as Martin said, the possible ramifications of that decision. We're joined by a whole host of lovely people. We've got James Linton, 17, who's sick, but still listening to us because he's a crazy glutton for punishment. Cat Jab, Jay Millsy, Bush Light, The History Archive. Hey, old Greg's Creamy Baileys. Captain Wonky. Hello, hello. Matt 101. Andy Jones, Kilgore Trout, Jonah Isaac, Amy Licious, Cozy
loads
Martian,
of people.
Disturbed Jaws, and Josh, and AM. Whole loads, host of people. Lovely, lovely people joining us live.
In fact, just Disturbed Jaws is a long time listener, first time live show. Ooh. So welcome. That's good.
Oh, lovely. Well, I like it when we get newcomers to the live show. It gives me hope that people will watch this. And before we get into the main topic, of course, we shall be revealing things that we've learned this week. And I've got a riddle for everybody.
It's not another old-fashioned 13th century old Welsh riddle, is it?
Well, Martin, I'm currently holding up a book that has Anglo-Saxon riddles written on the front of it. I've got a whole book, Martin. I'm going to keep using them. As soon as I get the chance, I've got them.
Okay, okay.
So, do you want to hear a riddle?
Go on.
Yeah.
Fine.
this is riddle 33, translated by John Porter, so don't blame me for the language. Here comes the riddle, everyone.
Okay.
It's a long one. It's a head-scratcher.
Oh, goodness.
So,
okay.
Think about it. She came sailing weirdly through the waves, shouted in splendor from ship to shore, booming loudly, her laughter terrible, awesome on earth, edges like swords. She was savage with hate, slow to strike, bloody in battle, battered ship's ribs. ravaged harshly. She spoke in spells about her own spawning, and she said, "My mother is a maiden of purest descent. She is my daughter, swollen with growth, greeted by folk where she falls on fields of earth, blessing the lands where men live." What am
what
I?
What am I? What am I? Yeah, not at the end. What am I? Something very, very poetic, but I have, of course, have no idea. But I'll have a think about it. Uh-huh. There's a lot going on there, as you say.
There is a lot going on there. Well, it's funny you say poetic. These are actually poems. So Anglo-Saxon riddles were written in poetic form, which is why there's lots of flowery language and alliteration, because that's how Anglo-Saxons like their poetry. I could read the Old English to you as well, if you like, but I'll just read the modern English to you again, especially for people listening, so they can think about it, and I'll reveal the answer at the end of the episode. So the riddle is... "She came sailing weirdly through the waves, shouted in splendour from ship to shore, booming loudly, her laughter terrible, awesome on earth, edges like swords. She was savage with hate, slow to strike, bloody in battle, battered ship's ribs. She spoke in spells about her own spawning. She said, 'My mother is a maiden of purest descent. She is my daughter, swollen with growth, greeted by folk where she falls on fields of earth, blessing the lands where men live. What am I?'" So it's one of those riddles where once you know the answer, it makes a lot more sense. So I promise, hopefully the answer will be satisfying.
Is it something very simple?
Relatively. Like it's specific, but it's something that everyone will know about. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, maybe
I can give a clue at the end, or now, if you like. Someone in the comments is getting there. They're getting there, actually. They're close.
Okay, cool.
It's not Matt101. Sorry to call you out, Matt101, but it is not Delia Smith.
Oh, that's a shame, isn't it? It's a shame.
Before I ask you what you learned this week, Martin, I just want to say a quick thank you to all of our wonderful Patreon supporters and YouTube members, without whose support we couldn't keep doing this, and it's just wonderful. And the kind of support you give us not only keeps us going, but also allows us to do special videos like our recent trip to York and our video about Dick Turpin and our upcoming video on a topic that shall be revealed when the video goes up, as well as my trip to Whitby last year, and who knows, maybe we'll do something else in the near future.
No, and thank you very much. And also, these microphones that we have in front of us.
Oh, yeah, that's true, actually.
Provide at least a slightly better audio experience, at least on your part, because you know how to use it properly, Robin.
Oh, you sound lovely, Martin. You sound fantastic. Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. I mean, but you're right. Anyone who's listened to us for a long time will know that if you go back to the first dozen or so episodes, the sound is not great. Thanks to all of your Patreon supporters, we have these sexy microphones that help us, as well as some of the software that allows us to do all this stuff. So thank you so much. And in particular, I want to say thank you to Rashad Najjar, Caleb Wilkerson, Kurt Jones, Nemo, John Baker, Janie, Jarax Nida, Henny Ruffle, the Super Show podcast, great gaming podcast, check them out if you haven't already, Nicholas Dill, Emmett Tapia, Hey Hey Swamboat, Ahmad, Peaswad, Josh Chomatek, A Filthy Casual, Simon Workman, and Sir Christopher McCrate, and Captain Wonky. So thank you all of you, all of our Patreon supporters and YouTube members, for all your support, and you shall be getting access to the next A Little More Interesting, a Patreon and YouTube member exclusive little video where we talk about whatever we feel like talking about, the stuff that we don't feel like can go on to the YouTube or the podcast, but would make it hopefully an interesting thing, discussion for everyone who supports us, as well as other behind-the-scenes tidbits and access to our Discord server. So...
Well, the last one we've uploaded was a Would You Rather. We went through lots of different scenarios of Would You Rathers. So if you're interested in finding out what we'd rather do out of a variety of options, head on over and have a look at that, because it was a good laugh. I think it went on for quite a while, though.
It was a surprisingly long one. As always, I think we overthunk it, and a simple would you rather question became quite a deep conversation. Went on for a while. Anywho, Martinus, what did you learn this week?
I learned a little bit about Hitler. which probably will mean that this video is now demonetized, but hey, I did. I learnt it, so I'm going to say it. And I learnt a little bit about Hitler's father, who was called Alois. I think it's Alois or Alois. A-L-O-I-S. So Alois.
Oh, or Alois, maybe?
Alois, 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 yeah. Alois. Good. And he was born in 1837. And because he was an illegitimate child, he took his mother's maiden name, which was Schickelgruber.
Ah.
Schickelgruber.
Yeah. Schickelgruber.
Well, I'm not quite sure what it means. Any German speakers out there, do let us know. Smith. By the late 19th century, or mid to late 19th century, 1870s, he had worked out what his family name was, and he claimed it. And of course, that name was Hitler.
Ah.
So, if his father had never found out what that name was, or had never known who his father was, we wouldn't be. The Germans in the 1930s and 40s wouldn't be saying Heil Hitler, they'd be saying Heil Schickelgruber, which doesn't quite have the same ring to it. I wonder if he would have been anywhere near as popular if he was called Adolf Schickelgruber.
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because not to sound too pro-Nazi, but Heil Hitler is catchy, you know.
Not to sound too pro-Nazi.
Pro-Nazi, but yeah. So the whole, and even the name Adolf Hitler, it's one of those things, chicken and egg things. You know, certain people are very famous and have very famous names. Mm. And you think, is the name kind of iconic because the person is famous? Like Winston Churchill, unforgettable name. But is it just because he was famous, or did his name help him become more memorable as opposed to, you know, my name's Joe Smith? And Adolf Schickelgruber, would he have been taken as seriously, that name?
Exactly. Would there have been something else to introduce him to, I don't know, what's the word, commemorate him amongst his supporters? Yeah, interesting. Talking of Churchill, I went to Chartwell yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Churchill's family home where he lived throughout most of his life.
Is it nice?
Well, of course, it's very nice. He came from a very, very well-to-do background. It's lovely. Big old house, nice gardens, good cup of tea they do there too. So there we go. Mm.
Do you have his personal effects on display?
Yes, plenty of them. Ooh. And in fact, Churchill wanted, during his later life, he wanted to turn some of the rooms at the house into a museum himself. And then the National Trust bought it in the, I think, post-Second World War, banded together with some of his friends and purchased it. And then, of course, now there is a few rooms that are dedicated to his, you know, memorabilia. But a lot of the house is still the same as it was in the 1940s and 50s when he lived there.
Huh.
And earlier in his life. But yeah, no, really interesting.
Yeah, that's good.
Worth a visit. It's very close to me, so it's good.
Don't tell everyone where you live, Martin.
Oh, well, it's within a driving radius that's not ridiculous. Let's just say that.
Okay. Smooth. Good recovery.
Thanks. I don't think we'll be able to pinpoint me. What did you learn this week, Robin?
What did I learn this week? It was not as interesting as Adolf Hitler's real name. It was it was about pianos. So I learned that your standard concert grand piano is around 9 feet long and has 88 keys. But I learned this week that in 2009, a New Zealand piano builder called Adrian Alexander Mann built the world's longest piano.
Oh, goodness.
It's 18 feet and 9 inches long. So just over twice the length of a normal grand piano. And it weighs over a ton.
What?
Yeah.
What? I mean, your piano still better have wheels.
I don't know if you built it with wheels. It's a good question.
You know, to get that far, your wingspan, your wingspan is not big enough, is it? You physically can't. I mean, a part of me thinks, what's the point?
It's a good question. It is literally, I think his motivation was he wanted to know how long he could
build a piano.
He could make it, yeah.
Does it just get much, much lower? Like, at one end are much higher at the other.
What do you mean?
In terms of like the octaves.
Kind of, yeah. So apparently the bass is really deep by grand piano standards, like really deep bass. I don't know if it sounds higher, but it definitely sounds deeper, apparently.
Okay. And
that's why.
Interesting.
That's kind of why he built it. He said he was really interested in the bass string. Because he said he started building it when he was 15 years old. It took him 5 years, and he finished it when he was 20.
Wow.
I didn't know.
That's quite amazing, starting to build a grand piano when you're 15.
Exactly. I'm like, wow.
Wow, the skill for that.
Got to have inherited some knowledge there. Or maybe studied online. Yeah. I don't know. That's just...
You've got to have some kind of piano building background from like your parents. Or...
I would assume so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Unless it's one
that's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, good on him. It's called the Alexander Piano. And it's famous, although it's not the biggest piano that was ever built. The biggest piano is in the Guinness Book of World Records, and that was built in 2013. And that is like bigger in every dimension. In fact, you have to stand up to reach the keys. It's so tall.
I mean, that sounds completely pointless.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just literally made for the Guinness Book of World Records.
100%, yeah. That's the only reason they did that. It's going to happen, right? At some point, as the years go by with the Guinness World Records, more and more people will be like, I want to get in the Guinness Book of World Records, so I'm going to have to do something crazy to get in there.
Yes.
Something unprecedented. The world's largest sock serves no practical purpose, but it's the world's largest sock.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Something that you want, something that is like that. That's, I mean, of course, when you're creating a grand piano, it takes a lot of time and effort. But some things you just wouldn't ever be able to do. Like if someone said, "Oh yeah, you've got to break the Guinness World Record for the number of plates spinning," I bet someone's done like, I don't know, 30, and I'm never going to be able to do that. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Whereas building something big, that sounds achievable if you just,
it does.
The dimensions just have to be right.
Because, it's acquired knowledge. You just build each part correctly and it fits together. It's fine. Whereas, like I say, plate spinning is an actual skill you have to develop over time.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Madness. Were we talking about the history of pianos and certain concert pianists having their pianos built smaller because they had smaller hands?
I don't remember that.
Okay, I think it might have been with my mum. She's a piano teacher, by the way.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. And in the past, some male pianists have had slightly smaller pianos built because of their, you know, the hands not being as big to make it easier for them to play. You know, they can't reach certain keys if they don't have
pianists.
Well, perhaps female pianists too, but the thing is, with the male ones, it was very much kind of hush-hush and hidden because they didn't want other people to know that they were actually playing on a smaller piano because of the, I don't know, whether that would have some kind of stigma attached to it of not doing properly.
Imagine.
Or
yeah, I can imagine. Yeah.
So that's actually a thing.
Too small, Donald.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Because I've always thought, one of the amazing things about pianists is watching them play and seeing how wide their hand span is and how far they can reach with their little finger whilst their thumb is holding a key down.
Yeah, and it's crazy.
I don't have very dexterous hands, so I've always thought I will never be able to learn to play the piano very well because I just can't stretch my fingers wide enough. I can understand why they might want a smaller piano. You know,
yeah,
I get that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. Like, yeah. It's got to be done, right? I think it's like it's a known thing now and isn't so much of a stigma. But in the past, it has been an issue. So, fair enough.
Well.
Cool.
Before we move on to our main topic, are there any comments that you'd like to respond to, either from the chat or from previous videos, like last week's podcast or anything like that?
Yes. So, I've got a comment from Liam O'Rourke. Hopefully I've got that right. Liam says, I'm looking forward to the clocks going forward. I'm working nights. I will lose an hour, but still get paid for it.
Oh.
That's nice. Pretty good. But then do they pay you...
By the hour?
Do they pay you the same amount when the clocks go back? That's the only thing, right? Do you work an extra hour, get paid the same? Does it even itself out? That's what I want to know, Liam. Because otherwise, you know, this is great now for the next payday, but then you might be missing out on an hour when it comes
that's
to...
That's true. When you get the extra
whenever
hour
it is.
Back in wintertime.
Exactly. Yeah. You've got to make sure it's, you know, it's an actual company benefit as opposed to a, you know, them screwing you over here, Liam. So, you know, be careful.
Well, I hope you got paid, Liam. And I'm glad you were looking forward to the clocks going forward, because I was not. I was very... I was actually not so badly affected this year, but I just feel knackered. All that's happened is I lost an hour of sleep, but I just feel knackered. And eventually I'll catch up on sleep and feel all right.
I mean, one of the things about having kids, Robin, is that it doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference. Kids will wake up at the same time, regardless of when the clocks go forward or back. Just like, well, it just feels a bit earlier. The clock says something different, but actually, I'm up at the same time. It doesn't make any difference.
Yeah.
I just might either miss something or have to wake the child up and then get a grumpy kid. Yeah.
It's like cattle. They wake up at the same time, regardless.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But see, for me, it wasn't... waking up, I woke up, it wasn't waking up earlier that did it for me, it was going to bed later. So it's never the morning of the clock change that gets me, although I feel fresher because you're waking up an hour earlier. It was the going to bed, and I was like, the clock says it's 10 o'clock, but I feel really fine and awake, so I'm going to stay up for a bit because I can't sleep, because it's actually 9 o'clock in my head, right?
Yeah.
So then I stay up till... you know, later, but still have to wake up the next morning, and that's where I lose the hour of sleep. It's not on the Sunday night, it's on the Monday morning that I lose my sleep, and that's when I feel crap.
I mean, how long has it been now since the clock's changed?
It's only been 24 hours. Well, nearly 48 hours.
Nearly 48, okay, yeah. It takes a little bit of settling into, but I think hopefully by tomorrow you'll be back up and running.
I'll have a good night's sleep after this, I'm sure.
Good stuff.
Swig of alcohol, never mind. So
notoriously good for sleep.
Yeah, hopefully. I think wine's better for sleep than beer, but we'll find out. On the same podcast episode, last week's about clocks changing and how daylight savings time can kill you, Amy Licious commented saying, Robin, in my second year house at uni, we were visited by slugs every night.
Oh, no.
We learned very quickly not to walk around without socks.
Oh, that's horrible.
That's a sickening
thing. Oh, that's really horrible. What was the context of that one? I think I missed that bit.
That's all right. I was talking about a frog that that lived in my house, in the basement of my house in my third year, and used to come out at night. And
no.
I was always very careful where I stepped at night because it was very dark. It was a very dark frog. Slugs is worse than a frog. Absolutely.
Slugs in your house. Ugh. Oh, no.
Yuck.
That's horrible. How do they? Was it damp? Was it damp in the house?
Yeah, if it's an old Victorian house or Edwardian house, they'll be damp, even with brickwork, and the slugs will get in from the garden, and they just do those old houses.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
That's really horrible. Hopefully, Amy, you're in a slug-free abode now. Don't have to deal with that.
Slugs are gross, especially if you tread on them, and they leave those slime trails everywhere, which is not nice.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not the worst of the worst. You know, it's not like silverfish, which really creep me out.
Oh, yeah, with
their slithery ways, and they poo all over everything, and then you eat it.
At least they're slow as well. It's not like something's moving fast.
Yeah, you can catch
it. It's like a rodent or a spider that moves quick. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But still, a recurring slug problem, that is pretty bad. That's quite disgusting.
I used to have to walk home along the river from work, and... one year the river was really high because it had been raining really heavily, and the river was high for weeks, and all the rats that live on the river banks decided the river was too high, and I guess they were like, we're not going home anytime soon. So there are these walls, and on the walls there are on the river there are these bushes, and the bushes come up to about my eye line. And one night I was kind of walking alone. And this is nighttime, like, so it's about 11:30 at night because it'd been a late shift, and I was walking home. And I could kind of sense things moving in the bushes. And I was like, the bushes are moving, but there's no wind. What's going on? And I just looked, and there was a rat dead, like, up on my eye line, looking straight in my face. And I jumped. I jumped and got as far away into the road as possible. I was like, I don't care if there's cars coming. There's a rat. And my eyes.
Was it a big rat?
It was a big rat, yeah. And then when I looked, there were loads of them. They were all like climbed up into the bushes because of the river. And they were all just sitting in the bushes, like looking, waiting for unsuspecting victims.
Captain Monkey says, I have rats and tarantulas.
As pets, yes.
I imagine
but
so.
But they're cute rats, aren't they?
Well, yeah. One of my good friends had a rat when he was younger. And it used to, it was kind of grim, actually. It was on like the, it was often on like the kitchen side, like eating an apple and stuff. As a bit, I mean, it's different from like a sewer rat, right? Mm. But still a little bit odd.
Yeah.
It's quite affectionate, you know, it'd come up and, you know, brush up against you and stuff. Oh. But I'm not sure if I had a pet rat that I'd just leave it running around the sides. No, no.
No.
In fact, I wouldn't have a pet rat for long because of kind of cat. And a dog.
And a dog, yeah.
In fact, I mean, this is enemies. I'm going completely tangential here, but do you remember the song, that kind of nursery rhyme that says, there was an old lady who swallowed a fly.
I don't know why she swallowed a fly.
Yeah.
Perhaps she'll die, yeah.
Yeah. It's a pretty horrible song, isn't it?
Horrible song, yeah.
I was thinking about this earlier, and she swallowed, what did she swallow, a bird?
She swallows a spider to get the fly, and then a bird to catch the spider.
And then a cat to catch the...
Bird,
dog, and then dog, and then a horse, and then she's dead, of course.
Oh yeah, that's how it ends. Yeah,
that's what ends. It's like, man, they used to sing that like nursery.
Yeah,
a woman who eats a whole load of animals live, and then dies at the end. So yeah,
I had a cassette recording of it. It's like really,
it's horrible.
Warm voice, old man singing that song. Yeah,
perhaps she'll die. Really, really, really dark. Yeah.
Samantha Warren, 1994. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Samantha Warren, yes.
Oh, I was just saying, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was saying, Samantha Warren, 1994, has commented saying, we have a slug problem at my house. It's a wooden house from the 1930s. So, there you go.
Not that old, really, yeah. In the scheme of things. The wood maybe brings them in.
Nearly 100 years old, that house. How old does a house have to be before it counts as old, I wonder?
I don't know.
Let me know in the chat what you think.
Is yours a fairly new house, or older house?
I live in a 1960s flat. So actually in late 60s, like 69, I think it came out. Nice.
Okay.
So yeah, very modern. How's yours? Because yours is a bit on the older side.
1860s.
Oh my god. 1860,
I think. Yeah.
Wow. That's lovely.
So a little bit. I've still got the deed. I'll tell you about this. When we moved in,
the original 1860.
The original deed with the quill, and it's really long. It's like 3-4 foot long because, of course, they just wrote across the whole of the paper. It's just amazing. Like this whole huge document.
Incredible.
It's like
yeah.
three foot, a couple of foot. But it's the original one. It was just in a drawer. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's pretty old piece. Yeah.
I was about to say, that's a really interesting historical document, but I guess you don't come across many of those because you can't sell a deed to a house as a museum artifact, can you? Unless the house has been demolished, I guess.
No. So, well, you wouldn't have thought so. You kind of need to keep it. So, but it's interesting going through all the different people that have lived, because there's the deeds of the original deed, and then there's, of course, the transfer of ownership. Mm. And I've got all of those, so it goes all the way back. From 1860, ooh, with the person who actually built it originally. He lived here.
That's fantastic.
And then, of course, various other people throughout the years. So there's a whole documented history of everyone that's lived here.
Are there any funny names in the history of people who lived there?
I don't think there's anything crazy that I like was particularly laughed at. But there's some old-fashioned names, but I can't remember. After maybe for a little more interesting, I'll get the deed out and read over it.
Absolutely, let's do that.
We can have a look and see if there's anything fun in it. Yeah.
Oh, that's a guaranteed promise. There you go. All of our Patreon supporters and YouTube members can look forward to
if your deed for a random house in the UK doesn't get you interested, I don't know what will. Could be interesting.
Well, shall we talk about TikTok?
TikTok. Yes, let's.
So, TikTok. Martin, do you want to introduce this? Because you may be slightly better informed on the actual kind of situation as it stands.
Yeah, I can give a little bit of background to kind of set the scene that we can discuss. Mm. TikTok. Just a bit on TikTok. So TikTok, I think most people know what it is, right? Video sharing platform, mm-hmm. primarily short form. Surpassed 3 billion mobile downloads worldwide. So a huge user base, and 150 million users in the US alone. They've got the headquarters actually in the US, in LA, mm-hmm. And 5 million businesses use it as well, which kind of will become more important when we discuss kind of the implications of banning TikTok, of course.
Sorry, can I interject there with a question?
Yeah, of course.
How do businesses make use of TikTok?
Yeah, well, everyone's on, aren't they? Like, for marketing. So, like, Coca-Cola will be on it, like, right. Nike, right. And they'll create content that appeals to people, and people follow them, and they can share their products, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, like a Facebook page or a Twitter page. Or
yeah, exactly. It's exactly the same.
Yeah, okay, I get it.
In a lot of ways, it's very similar, but of course appeals in general to a slightly younger demographic than something like Facebook. Mm. And the content is quite different. Of course, it's produced for mobile, so it's in that 9:16 format. Why am I going into aspect ratios? It's in a vertical format. and it launched in 2017 for iOS and Android for the majority of markets outside of China, because China basically have their own version of it. It isn't actually interconnected with the global version. It's their own version, which has its own restrictions and infrastructure based on Chinese government policy. You know, they're quite different restrictions for TikTok in China and for all social media in China. You know, like you look at YouTube, and YouTube's banned in China for a variety of reasons. They don't want anything that kind of conflicts with the regime's message getting through to users. So they've got their kind of own version. But anyway, the US version of it came about as a result of a merger between ByteDance, who are like the parent company, and Musical.ly. So that happened in 2018, and then it basically became like TikTok as we know it today. So like all social media platforms, TikTok, of course, collects loads of information about its users, primarily to like improve like the user experience, but also to like tailor ads to users as well, and to target people specifically with both content and adverts. So in terms of like the metrics that they collect, these include the device that you're using, your location, so like your IP address, your search history, the content of your messages, and of course, metrics like your gender, your age, what you're viewing, and for how long you're viewing it for. So a variety of different metrics. And the thing to kind of note here is that these metrics alone aren't any different from what other platforms collect. So there's nothing really unique about that. That's not in alone by itself. That's not the worrying thing. Like they're collecting this stuff, but that doesn't really matter on its own. And this data is stored by TikTok, not in China, but in the US. I think it's in Virginia. I think I watched a video and they said the recent one at the hearing, and the CEO said it's in Virginia and Singapore, but I think that they're actually building infrastructure to house it in the US totally, and for this to only be able to be accessed by like vetted personnel in a company called TikTok US Security. So they're basically trying to portray the image that okay, actually this data is stored in the US. It's nothing different from what other platforms are collecting, and only certain personnel can access it.
Yeah, and haven't they? Sorry to interrupt, but I remember something about this in the news. Didn't they, all the US users, they required some dedicated servers which are based in the US by a company called Oracle or something?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
So all the US users of TikTok, all their data is on these servers in America, and they're not accessible, at least officially, by China and by the Chinese side of the company.
That's right, but it's supposedly by only vetted personnel. But as we'll get on to, there have been some concerns amongst US lawmakers in particular, because there have been some kind of some breaches around this. So, so when we look at TikTok currently and the state of it, there have been concerns around privacy. And the fact that China, of course, has a bit of a reputation for like surveillance and data collection. And it's really a question of how TikTok will use and handle this data. And so the real concern actually is around the potential for the Chinese government to access, you know, users' locations and then give this data from ByteDance, who the parent company, to the Chinese government. Because under Chinese law, firms like TikTok and others gathering data are required to help the Communist Party when they request it. And that's the crux of this. So it is really a question of trust and whether TikTok can be trusted to act as a, you know, as a private company, which they are. They're owned 60% by investors, outside investors. So can they be trusted to not hand this this information over?
It's worse than that, isn't it? I thought TikTok was a wholly owned subsidiary of ByteDance, which is the Chinese company.
Yes, but I think 20% of it is owned by ByteDance, but 60% of it is owned by a variety of investors. 20% of it's owned by the founder.
Right.
And so these are just the different players who are in there. But the main thing is that it's not owned by the Chinese government.
Right.
It's so supposedly separate from the Chinese government. Yeah.
But it has half, it's partly headquartered in China. And the Chinese law
ByteDance
means that every company has to basically...
ByteDance is, TikTok isn't.
Yeah.
So the TikTok itself is in LA, I think.
Okay.
So that's...
stop ByteDance from sharing any information from TikTok?
Well, that's it. Yeah. We live in a, you know, interconnected global world, don't we? There's nothing stopping it. And a lot of this actually comes down to a data breach that happened in 20... Oh, I'm going to say, when was it? It was in... It was in December last year when it was revealed. That was it. December last year it was revealed that employees had used TikTok to track the location of critical journalists. That was it. So journalists who are critical of the way in which TikTok gathers information, their IP addresses were tracked using using TikTok. Yeah, yeah. So they'd use this information. And these were employees both in the US and China.
Yeah.
And as a result, four employees were let go. They were fired from accessing this information. But yeah, it just shows that, you know, ultimately TikTok and other companies like this, even if they have vetted access, right, they have restrictions in place to not allow everyone to just access this information, it relies on there being good actors, right?
Yeah.
And so if you're in a situation where all it would take is someone who wants to provide information to the Chinese government to act as a bad actor, become employed by TikTok and become vetted to actually transfer some of this information back to the Chinese government. And the real concern about the Chinese government having this information is, of course, around privacy, and in particular around people who are in positions of authority and power, so like governmental positions. Mm. So in the US, in most of the European Union, in the UK, there has been a ban in like government offices and on official devices of the government, the property of the government, that TikTok is not allowed. So in Whitehall, for instance,
they might
Go for it.
I was listening to an interview actually with a British politician the other day, and I think he said that they've banned MPs, members of parliament, from having TikTok on their personal phones as well.
Yes.
Or they want to, at least. Official phones and personal phones, because obviously MPs are idiots and they take their personal phones with them everywhere they go, even if they're not using it for official business. And as you just said, like if it's IP addresses and stuff like that they're using, then banning it from your work phone when you've got it on your personal phone at the same time when you're a government government
yeah
worker.
exactly
it's kind of dumb.
So there are calls for these kind of bans on government devices, on personal devices, but also a wider ban. And this is a question of, you know, is this a geopolitical issue? Is this actually a security concern, or is this more of a geopolitical issue where you're looking at you know, not wanting China to have any kind of influence over something that, of course, is so it seems so pivotal to a younger generation, both in the US and the UK, right? It's how a lot of people communicate. It's that their primary form of communication and knowledge gathering. And so it's a question of, would the Chinese government, would they be able to implement some kind of soft power over the way in which those in the West, especially young people, think by vetting what they see on TikTok?
Yeah.
And so that's a really, really big question.
Do you think they will do that, though? Do you think that's likely?
Well, I mean, you just have to look at kind of what happened with Facebook and the Russian meddling in elections. Some of it was definitely more pronounced, but a lot of it was that kind of soft power. It was, okay, not only what do we show people, but what do we not show people in terms of recommending certain types of content. If they have the ability to vet certain types of content and not push it out to certain users.
Well, wasn't that done just by working through Facebook's established advertising system?
Yes.
They didn't do anything special there. They didn't hack Facebook or anything. They just paid for Facebook services in a targeted way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So there wouldn't be anything
stopping.
Yeah, if TikTok is completely controlled by the Chinese government, in theory, they could do so much worse than Russia achieved through Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And 2016 was a good year for Russia. With
Trump
and Brexit, it was a pretty good year for Russia.
It was.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But, currently, there are a few countries that have actually banned TikTok outright, like for public use. So India is one of them. And this was over privacy concerns following, you know, there's like that issue over the military borders, and there was a little bit of action back in 2020 between India and Russia. So after that, due to security concerns, they just banned it outright. And then Pakistan and Afghanistan have banned it for other reasons. That was over like there being vulgar content and people potentially being able to access like porn on it and stuff. So different reasons for the ban. But there are certain countries that have already banned TikTok. And then, of course, in 2020, the government under the Trump regime started to look at ways in which they could ban TikTok over this. Mm. And so he signed an executive order, Trump did, that basically would have banned TikTok in the US.
Yeah.
But this was overturned and it was kind of shelved when Biden came in. So Biden came in, of course, in 2021, revoked this executive order and issued a new executive order that basically said to the Commerce Department to basically conduct an investigation into the way in which TikTok collects data and the practices they use, and just to see whether it's a national security threat. So that's basically what's happening now in Congress. That's why this has happened. We're a couple of years on almost, but that's what's happening now. So this is this investigation into what's happened. So over the last week in Congress, lawmakers have basically grilled the CEO of the company, Xu Zhiqu, and are actually set on restricting the platform. It's a little bit unfair on the CEO because he was essentially having to try and prove a negative. So they were saying, they were asking him, you know, of course he's going to say, you know, TikTok doesn't spy on its users, but they were saying, prove that TikTok doesn't spy on its users. And that's almost an impossible question.
How
right?
could
you can't prove, you can't prove a negative. So some of the questions that were asked were pretty stupid as well. It's like, so, does TikTok have information? When you connect to TikTok, will it have information over your IP address? And it's like, well, yeah, you're connected to the internet, so yes. But that's the same as any app, right?
Oh,
any app that connects to the internet, and it's so they're able to know your IP address. And it's things like that where it's almost faux gotcha moments. And I know there have been a lot of memes online about these lawmakers asking like real like boomer questions, right?
Yeah.
Because they just don't know what's going on.
It's like those Zuckerberg hearings a few years ago.
Yeah, yeah,
some
exactly.
Some of the questions are just like, welcome to the internet.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So the latest is that Kevin McCarthy, the US House of Representatives Speaker, basically has said that lawmakers are going to move forward with legislation to address these concerns about TikTok. So that's where we are. So action is going to be taken to, it seems, restrict TikTok in the US, or at the very least, prevent the ByteDance from having certain bits of information on US users. And both Trump and more recently Biden have given almost an ultimatum about ByteDance having to sell the majority of its shareholding to US companies for it to continue to operate. So half of ByteDance's revenue, or TikTok's revenue, comes from the US. So it's estimated around about $7 billion will be generated this year alone from TikTok. And of course, if it's banned in that market, you know, it will have a huge impact on the shares and also the revenue. And so they've been encouraged to sell it to a US stakeholder so that the US company has that access over.
I read the other day about ByteDance, and I think they were valued in 2021 at something like $440 million.
Right, yeah.
Or maybe it's billion. And now they're half of that. They're down to 200. Wow. Which, I mean, yeah, world's smallest violin is playing right now, but they've lost half of their stock market value just in 2 years. And I think it's directly as a result of this investigations announced by Biden.
Wow.
Possible bans that might ensue.
I remember way back when, Robin, I was in touch with ByteDance.
Oh, yeah.
Over, of course, syndicating or delivering the channel that shall not be named content onto various other platforms. And ByteDance was one of them way back in the day. Yeah.
We did a deal with the devil.
This was pre-TikTok.
Yeah. Gosh. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you did a great job, and thank you for all that you did. I had no idea that we had any relationship with ByteDance or potentially then TikTok. Were we ever on TikTok? On the channel,
yeah, TikTok came a little bit later. It wasn't really quite the right platform for a. it could have been. It wasn't the focus, definitely.
The serious documentaries.
Yeah.
So, I have a few questions. I'd like you to answer if you can, after everything you've told me. The first question is it worth it? What they're doing with TikTok.
Is it worth banning TikTok? I mean, it seems like a lot of the data gathering is exactly the same as other platforms. So on the face of it, like, obviously, it seems just like a bit of a power play, right? It's like you're a Chinese company. You know, whether the concerns are legitimate or not, it seems like it's very much, you know, we want to restrict Chinese companies having an influence over US citizens.
Yeah.
From a very basic level. But then you look at the security issue with those four bad apples, both in the US as well, US and China, sharing the IP information of journalists, and it seemed like their security over quite sensitive information isn't that great. And any time that there's a law in place about, especially with such a brutal regime about having to legally share information, you know, If the Chinese government went to ByteDance and said, you have to share this by law, otherwise X, Y, and Z will happen, we'll shut you down being one, but possibly worse, you're going to do, aren't you? And you're going to say, no, we don't share information, even if you did. So I think the concerns are legitimate, but not because ByteDance is in bed with the Chinese government. Or I bet if it was up to them, they'd say, no, we want nothing to do with you at all. You're jeopardizing our private company that's still worth $200 billion or whatever it is. But yeah, I mean, it's undeniable that the Chinese government have influence over all aspects of life and on all companies that are operating within China. Even to get your content onto Chinese social media platforms as a Western content producer is incredibly difficult when it's a Chinese. So there is like quite tight restrictions about what can and can't be seen to try and influence the soft power, to influence what's being shown. So if they have the opportunity to influence young, impressionable US audience, even slightly, then my guess is that they're going to take it. So I think the concerns are legitimate, but it does seem like a political point scoring game when you look at these hearings and some of the arguments against TikTok.
Yeah. And do you think it will be sold then if they do just sell their, if ByteDance were to sell their share in TikTok so that it becomes solely US owned, do you think that would solve the problem if it's just behaving like every other social media?
I think it would go quite a long way, wouldn't it? I mean, yeah. That puts them in an impossible position, doesn't it? You know, sell it to a 2S company or else, you know, it doesn't make Chinese business look particularly strong if they're having to sell for a political game. Mm. Would that solve the issue? Perhaps. Perhaps, but it might not be in their best interest to do so.
Yeah, I feel like... So yeah, I'd like to know what your opinion is too. So you've done a great job of explaining it, so thank you for that. And it does sound like, pretty conclusively, there's a danger there, an undeniable danger with TikTok, even though it operates just like all the other social media platforms out there, because it is so under the thumb of China and the way the Chinese government operates. Clearly there's a danger there that China's going to use it against us. And we already know that they do stuff, lots of spying, including, was it China, wasn't it, that was using one of their apps to track the GPS location of people's phones in government facilities so they could start building maps of the insides of, you know, the Pentagon or something, that kind of
thing. Sounds right.
I think it's China. I can't remember what the app was, but there was something. Could have been Pokemon Go, actually. I know that's obviously Nintendo, not China, but you know what I mean. But there's still the danger with Facebook. As far as I'm aware, Facebook's done bugger all to prevent Russia from influencing future elections. They've been called out on it, and they've been interviewed by Congress, and they've been exposed for what they've done. But I don't think Facebook has implemented anything particularly meaningful to prevent that from happening again. And then, of course, Twitter has actually taken a step backwards under Elon Musk in terms of trying to crack down on fake news. Mm-hmm. They introduced a lot of things to make it easier for people to discern between fact and fiction. And now Elon Musk is rolling that back considerably. So if you're going to let them get away with it, presumably the argument is, oh, we're in a free society with a free market and we have to let these free white people do what they want to do. But this company is under the thumb of a government that we don't like. What's your view on... And I say that I'm asking this because in Britain, we're doing the same thing as America. We're kind of going in the same direction when it comes to TikTok. And Britain tends to follow America's lead. And I think Britain is typical of the Western world in general. Where America goes, the rest of us tend to follow. In Europe, in Australia, in South Africa. And that's a big portion of the world. And a lot of the world's biggest economies and the superpowers of the world are contained in the allies of America. North America, of course, the USA. So my question is, if they're doing this for TikTok now, is it setting a precedent that could lead to trouble further along? Because today, China is the enemy. What if tomorrow Macron pisses off Biden and Biden's like, France is the enemy, and a load of social media based in France suddenly is getting banned and cracked down? You know what I'm saying? Obviously, mm-hmm. I'm exaggerating, I'm making a joke, but we've just had a US president who is prone to whimsy and doing his own thing.
And it's a very good point.
Or rather, doing things that whoever had his ear at that time would encourage him to do. So can we trust the systems, particularly of the West at the moment, to always make the right choice? Even if right now we can argue that, yes, it is the right thing to take TikTok down or try to force TikTok out of Chinese hands. Is it worth doing it anyway because of the precedent it sets for the future?
I think that's an incredibly good point because, you know, you look at someone like Musk who, by all accounts, he would say that he's not left-wing or right-wing, right? That's what he says. By all accounts, he's definitely shifting further, increasingly further to the right and criticizing at least, you know, leftist policies. Yeah. So you look at someone like Biden who could conceivably turn around and say, right, actually what Elon Musk is doing here is perpetuating right-wing false news. And so we should actually have a vote on what we do next with Twitter. It does set a precedent, doesn't it? It's not as simple as China bad, therefore ban. It all depends on your thoughts and feelings of the actor in play. And the question is, should it? I mean, I think it goes without saying that, you know, using someone's IP address to track them down and threaten them, as they seemingly did with these journalists, is not a good thing, regardless of who the regime is or who the actor is. But yes, what is the next step? If someone is, if there's a new social media platform where the creator is pro transgender rights, which is a big issue in America at the moment, does that mean that moving forwards they would have to be concerned that they could be taken down if they you know, even state their own political opinion? So. Good question. I don't think that really answers it, but yes, it probably does set a precedent, doesn't it?
And like you say, we live in a globalized world, and a supposedly free market is the ideology we want. And a big part of the free market functions, a direct result of the ideology of neoliberals, is that you get foreign ownership of domestic assets, you know, and what's a small business, like you say, it could be a small, honest, earnest business that can't quite raise capital to sustain itself or raise revenue to sustain itself, so sells itself to a bigger company, happens to be based in a foreign country, and today they're an ally, and then tomorrow they're an enemy, and this otherwise fine company just gets caught in the crossfires of this geopolitical strain that may be temporary. Obviously, tensions with China have been building for a long time, but as you said, it's entirely down to the actors involved. Xi Jinping might eventually be replaced by somebody who is all right. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not optimistic. By the way, I'm just saying it's possible.
And if you put the shoe on the other foot and said, okay, well, Facebook is able to track, or YouTube is able to track data on everyone anyone that's a user, including the Chinese, but of course China doesn't use it. But if they did, would US citizens be up in arms that you're able to track the user of Chinese users on the platform? And I'd say that most in the UK and the US would be like, well, if you're a user, then you abide by the terms of service and policies. Therefore, your data's tracked. It's like, well, you know.
Yeah, you're right. If you reverse it, we would absolutely, our governments would absolutely support whichever companies in the UK and the US were collecting data on the Chinese.
Of course they would. And I think most people would be like, well, that's fair enough, because we're promoting, you know, democratic. We're not good. Yeah. Even if there was this soft power influence over what the Chinese were seeing on Chinese Facebook, it's, you know, it's for the best because we're promoting democracy and, you know, the arguments can be made.
I mean, I'm a hobbyist, I guess, an enthusiast of 20th century geopolitics. And it's, as much as obviously I oppose I oppose terrorism and a lot of the regimes that were set up in the Middle East, with some of them, you can understand exactly where they came from and the whole rhetoric. And this is, I remember this very succinctly because I was... or rather distinctly, I should say, I remember being very much in the Iraq War 2003, being introduced to the concept of America is bad, we'd rather have our dictator Saddam Hussein. Yeah, that really boggled my mind when that invasion happened, and thought, I remember asking my parents and my teachers and saying, why are the Iraqis fighting? Because Saddam Hussein is clearly a bad guy. I mean, he was in Hot Shots Part Deux as a villain, surely they know. And then... they explained to me, like, well, not all the Iraqis think he's a bad guy. They might think he's better than America. I was like, well, what's wrong with America? And then they explained to me what America had done in the Middle East, you know, historically, toppling regimes and grabbing oil and dodgy deals with terrorists and dictators, and obviously trying to install democracy, which obviously we think is a good thing, and I do think democracy is a good thing. But as I've got older and learned to appreciate that there are many forms of democracy...
It's not as simple as that.
It's not as simple as that. No. And you can't just force your systems and ethics onto another culture, even if it might be for the best or with the best intentions. So that's a really good point, that Xi Jinping seems to have decided that... democracy doesn't work, and the best form of democracy is a dictatorship where he's in control. Obviously, he's not a good person. There's the persecution of the Uyghurs, isn't it? The Muslim community and other communities and minorities. And of course, anybody who dissents from the Communist Party is persecuted and maybe killed in many circumstances. But as far as he and his allies in the Chinese government and Chinese society are concerned, it's a relatively benevolent democracy. Benevolent dictatorship. Mm-hmm. Because especially from his perspective, they look back on China as it used to be when it was a really full-on dictatorship and capitalism and any kind of voting just wasn't a thing. And they probably see themselves as fairly progressive.
It's relative, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all relative. I'm against them and their regime, but I do kind of think, as you just said, it's all a matter of perspective. And today we claim our fourth form of democracy is the best thing, therefore everyone should have it. But in a few years' time, there may be something better. And if someone came along and invaded us and said, used soft power on social media to make us install a different system, what would we think? I imagine there'd be lots of people who genuinely would argue in favor of an alternate system that was encouraged and promoted by a foreign power on social media. And because they agree, they would be mocked and, what's the word I'm looking for, kind of, by agreeing with a foreign power, they would be invalidated in the eyes of their own government.
You know, interesting.
It's a side point. I'm going on the sidetrack. Getting a bit of a tangent here.
No.
So would it be better, surely, to just, rather than ban companies like TikTok, just introduce safeguards for all social media companies so that in case Facebook, for instance, got bought by Russia in some fantasy scenario, that it wouldn't be a concern?
Is that possible? I'm trying to think about a hypothetical in which you would be able to do that. You're always reliant on people acting in your best interests, aren't you? Your desired outcome. Mm. Regardless of whether it's Mark Zuckerberg or Elon Musk or the, you know, ByteDance not handing over information to the Chinese government.
Yeah.
What safeguards could be in place? I mean, ByteDance, TikTok have said that they are, you know, housing data solely in the US, that there's going to be a very restricted list of people that have access to that data. Mm. Is there much more than they can do to convince people that, you know, that they're not going to hand over that information to the Chinese government? Because even if you've got US citizens in the US having access to that data, no one from China, ByteDance, is allowed to access it, you're still relying on people acting within your interests, aren't you? Your best interests. Oh, yeah. So I don't know if that can be done. I'm not sure that's possible.
No, I look forward to how history and society views our era of social media usage. You know, I'd like to know if it will get worse or better in terms of the individual's privacy. You know, in 100 years' time, if you were to travel forward 100 years and tell people, oh, this is what we did with all this social media, and they look at you and be like, you let them do what with your personal information? You agreed to those terms and conditions?
It was just a little box. It was just easy to tick.
I didn't care. I just got adverts. You know, that's all that happened to me. That's all I noticed in my life. Some adverts.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder what they think. It may get worse. Who knows? They may be like, you were so privileged. You had so many safeguards in place. All they used was your IP address and your personal they asked for consent. My gosh, yeah. it's a tricky one.
Finish what you're going to say. Apologies.
I was going to say, I put a poll into the chat, the live chat. Should we ban TikTok?
Mm.
And it was hovering at about 50-50 for a while. But recently, it's, I think after you've explained the dangers, Martin, it seems to have sworn in favour of, yes, we should ban TikTok.
I'd be interested to know how many people just want to ban it because they just don't like it. And the typical user base on TikTok as well.
There have been a few comments trends. That effect, I think. Some people seem to be a little prejudiced. Who knows? Maybe YouTube is not the place to have a poll about TikTok. What do you think?
Desolator Magic, you do realise that China and YouTube are both banned in China, right? Facebook and YouTube. Yes. Yeah. The example earlier was a purely hypothetical of if YouTube was available in China. But yes, of course, it is banned in China. Driver with Matt, I see Elon Musk's Neuralink is back in the news. We'll have to have a look into that. I haven't seen that back in the news yet.
He's made some progress, has he?
I imagine so.
Or he's claimed he has.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's
cool.
The China point, the Facebook and YouTube being banned in China is a good point. It's worth making that because, if anything, that reinforces what you were saying, Martin, which is that we frown on China for doing that, don't we?
Yes.
Obviously, we assume, I think correctly, that China has banned them because it doesn't want Western influence. It wants to more tightly control its people. But what is banning Chinese influence through TikTok if not a way of controlling what your people think? It's just
to the point.
The emphasis is different. China presumably wants to contain the limits of knowledge that people in its country have, whereas we want, in the West, the governments want to keep people as open-minded as possible, in theory, free from influence from foreign powers. But it's effectively the same thing. It's banning a company because it is owned by a foreign country and therefore can be used to subvert your own government's attitudes.
I'm interested, Robin. What do you think are the next steps on this? How far do you think the US will go? And do you think that will start a chain reaction amongst other nations of putting in place similar either outright bans or at least restrictions on how TikTok is used in their country?
That's a good question. I can't see it going to an outright ban just because, partly for the reasons I think we've discussed, that I think politicians will be aware of the hypocrisy of doing something like that in a supposedly free society. I think also...
Hypocrisy's never stopped any. <That's> never true. Stopped any politician.
That is true. But I think TikTok's still big enough to pay its way out of being banned, if that makes sense.
Okay, interesting.
I also think, so as recently as 10 years ago, you may remember our last Prime Minister, but four, David Cameron, I think, had that many, maybe, yeah, last, yeah, five Prime Ministers ago.
Oh, God, that's crazy. How is that five ago?
I know, mad, isn't
it? Rush through them.
Do you remember how cozy David Cameron was getting with China? He and our Chancellor, George Osborne, were getting Chinese investment, and Barack Obama was selling American debt to China, you know. So 10 years ago, the UK and America were cozying up to China. And I think a lot of that is, there's still potential for that status quo to return, for people, for politicians to be like, there's money in these Chinese. We will be friendly with them. I don't think, I don't know. I somehow think influence, soft power, as you call it, can be exerted over our politicians in a pro-China way. I also think, at the moment, I wouldn't be surprised if we were to learn that there's some gentle encouragement taking place from, you know, for example, Facebook and YouTube and other social media platforms, that are, you know, gently encouraging members of Congress to ban TikTok on government devices and military devices and all kinds of things, because any kind of restrictions will have a damaging effect on TikTok's market value and its ability to reach customers, and therefore have a positive effect for its competitors. So I think once they've legislated to restrict usage in any way, to any extent, on TikTok, it'll have done its damage in terms of market value and competitor strength. And therefore, I imagine a lot of pressure that we haven't detected so far, because it's not been in the news, but is still probably there, from lobbyists working for Facebook, for YouTube, for Twitter. A lot of that pressure will ease off on politicians because they'll have done some damage to TikTok. So they won't care so much. And I think you need that kind of relentless, powerful, moneyed pressure on politicians for them to go so far as to ban a company, right? That's my personal view. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, on that point, I'm interested to know how much of this, especially amongst, dare I say it, Republican congressmen, is just purely about kind of screw China. It is literally a screw China. Like, yeah, we don't want that over here. Even if it does damage to, the US economy, both in terms of companies that use TikTok for marketing, for people who are making their livelihoods out of TikTok and other social media platforms, which it seems to be ever increasing.
Yeah, we haven't mentioned that, of course, only by implication. TikTokers who are millionaires suddenly be impoverished overnight because of TikTok ban.
You need to be platform agnostic, don't you? We say whilst focusing solely on YouTube and podcast platforms of your choice.
We've got,
of course,
podcast platforms of your choice, and we have a Twitch stream which we occasionally use.
That's true. That's a good point. Just plug in here. Sorry, what was the initial question?
What do you think? How far will it go?
How far will it go? Oh goodness, I think there will actually be more to this than just a kind of a slap on the wrist.
Right.
Watching the congressional debates hearings today, they absolutely tore into sometimes with information to support, but sometimes just shouting over the CEO of TikTok. Yeah. And I'd be very surprised if some legislation doesn't come into place that has a meaningful effect on the ways in which users in the US can use the app. I think they'll definitely be pushing again for US control, or a higher percentage of the ownership over TikTok to be US, or at least not Chinese based. TikTok seems like they're saying the right things, insofar as, where they house the data, who has access to it. But other than that, there's not much more that they can do other than saying it's not in the hands of the Chinese government.
Yeah.
It's not owned by the Chinese government. We have security systems in place. There's not really much more they can say.
It does seem like the knives are out for them, even though they are doing their best.
And they're doing what every other platform, social media platform, does. It's just that connection with the Chinese government. But I think that it's a political point. It's political points across the spectrum, because the Democrats and the Republicans are both united on this stance, right?
Yeah.
An anti-Chinese stance is just American, isn't it? It's not politicized as much.
But isn't there a risk, especially for Joe Biden, who a lot of his votes come from the younger sector of the population? Well, if he banned TikTok, or restricted its usage in a way that's inconvenient for people. Cost him a few votes, maybe?
It might in the short term. I think if he does it soon enough, I've got to be honest, like, if TikTok went under within 2 weeks, there'd be something else, either from an existing platform with maybe like YouTube Shorts, Instagram Reels, or a new platform would spring up and do exactly what TikTok is doing, but be American-based and be successful. There's that migration to a new platform. So I do think that it wouldn't actually make that much difference in the eyes of that electorate. I think there'd definitely be people that have built their careers in there and have millions of followers, and then suddenly that's all gone. That would be like, I have to start again from scratch.
Yeah.
But, I think that's probably a small percentage that are going to be drastically affected by this. And most people that are users will move on very, very quickly and move to the next.
Yeah, you're probably right.
The next thing.
Maybe we should start building it now. The TikTok equivalent. We'll call it
Tic-Tac.
Tic-Tac. I like it. Refreshing. And then we'll get sued by TikTok.
We will get sued by TikTok. Yeah. Who owns TikTok?
I don't know, actually. Must be
one. They're owned by it's going to be, isn't it?
Like Kraft or...
Yeah.
I can say Unilever, but Unilever do the soap, don't they? And Kraft do food, yeah.
Who owns TikTok? I mean, I'm interested now. Ferrero, okay.
Oh, really? Huh.
Yeah.
Did not expect that.
Aren't they like a... I don't get this wrong. Is it Ferrero who like the crime family?
At the risk of sounding racist, I was going to say probably, but actually, just because they've got an Italian or Sicilian sounding name doesn't mean they're criminal. But no. You're probably right.
No, yeah.
It's them or Ferrari, you know, one of the Ferrarios. In the comments, it's interesting, got currently, should we ban TikTok, is still 68.32% in favor of banning it. But a few comments, we've definitely got some people like Driving with Matt, who just seems to have... Sorry to use this word in association with you, Driving with Matt, but possibly psychopathic hatred of TikTok. Just going to say, it says exile them from the earth. I feel like that's that's an extreme position there.
That's quite something. I think Matt, are you a fan of TikTok in general, or the position with ByteDance and the Chinese government? Would you just not like TikTokers? Because I think we can all say that, you know, we've had a fair share of absolutely annoying shit come up. Not the company, the people in on it. Right. Yeah,
burning hatred for the people.
Just doesn't like teenagers.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Fair enough.
There are some. I'm only beginning in recent months to understand TikTok. So it's typically me to be late to the party and finally understand it once it gets banned. But it's kind of. Jarvan Matt says, I have kids who watch it. Haha, now.
That would do it.
The cloud lifts, we understand now. But there are some TikTok videos that I get. I'm not on TikTok, by the way. Some of them upload them to YouTube or on Facebook. You know, they spread them across different platforms. Mm-hmm. And some friends of mine occasionally will share a TikTok link with me and I'll open it and have a look at it. And sometimes it's very good. It's amusing. There are some great content creators out there. Mm-hmm. Other times I don't get it. It's like 10 seconds of someone staring at the screen and there's a bit of text on it. And I'm like,
I'm even okay with that. That, like, if it's just kind of weird or like not much effort, but people are watching it, like, okay, fair enough. Like, whatever. The things that get me are the fake videos. They're obviously fake. Like, oh, I just gave this sandwich to a homeless person, look how amazed they are, and it's like, clearly that's just someone who's in a, like, you've dressed someone up as a homeless person just for views. Man, like, that's really terrible. Shitty There's a lot of shit like that on TikTok. Like, it's like preying upon people preying upon that kind of people not knowing better, but also preying upon kids for being gullible. And and you look at the comments and it's all like, oh, how amazing is this? It's like, it's obviously just fake and shit. Stop this rubbish. I swear, like, 60% of TikTok's that. It's like baiting for likes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my rant over.
No, thank you for sharing. I'm glad you know. Having said that, YouTube Shorts is clearly a TikTok competitor.
It's been brought in to fill that void, isn't it?
Interesting short timing, form. That YouTube Shorts launched in the last year, and now TikTok might be getting banned, huh?
Interesting, I say.
What's going on there? Gonna have to get a PI to investigate. anyway. Well, thanks, Martin. Thank you so much for explaining that, because it's a surprisingly big topic, actually. It's not as simple as burn TikTok. There's nuance there. And there's some interesting ethical dilemmas, I think, introduced by this, as well as the legal side of it.
Yeah, and I think once we get an update as well, we'll probably cover it in a little more interesting episode.
Oh, yeah.
As a bit of an update on what's happened now.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, do let us know what you think. Will TikTok have a ban, and to what extent will it be banned? In the US, the UK, you know, European Union, etc. Interested to know what people think. I don't think they're messing about with this one.
No, you're right. It seems to have gone too far for them not to do anything.
Yep.
Yeah, they're going to do something. Be interesting to see what they do. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, please do let us know what you think, either in the comments right now in the live chat, or comments below the video if you're watching us on YouTube, or comments or a review on whatever podcast platform you're watching us on. Or you can tweet us at JInterestingYT, or I'm at All Time Robin.
And I'm at Mart Interesting.
Hey.
Wonderful.
Oh, Alex didn't interrupt you. Oh, that's good.
I know. Well done. Yeah. I know. It's a shame, really. I miss it. Oh.
Yeah. The only reason we miss him. But now that I think we'll bring the discussion to a conclusion there. And we'd like to know the answer to the riddle.
Yes. Can you read it one more time?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'll read it one more time. So this is riddle 33 from the Anglo-Saxon Riddles book.
Thanks.
You're welcome. For, you know, in case someone wants to...
Just,
you know,
in case I want to just go and look at that individual page in my local library.
She came sailing weirdly through the waves, shouted in splendour from ship to shore, booming loudly, her laughter terrible, awesome on earth, edges like swords. She was savage with hate, slow to strike, bloody in battle, battered ship's ribs, ravaged harshly. She spoke in spells about her own spawning, saying, "My mother is a maiden of purest descent. She is my daughter, swollen with growth, greeted by folk where she falls on fields of earth, blessing the lands where men live." What am I?
Blessing. That's the thing. But there's the first bit, I'm like, oh, that sounds like a thunder or a storm.
Mm, it does, doesn't it?
And,
yeah.
And then it's like blessing the lands and like speaking in riddle. What? Speaking in magic spells. What? That doesn't really add up.
Yeah. So it's made harder by the fact that it's a translation of a poem. So the language is trickier than a usual riddle might be.
My first initial thought way back when was like salt or something.
Salt? Okay.
I don't know why. I just like the blessing the lands and like sharp as a sword. Okay. And like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But that doesn't make any sense. I was thinking like, yeah, some kind of storm or thunder was what I had in mind, but I don't really know.
I mean, that is really good. That is really good. And it's not a million miles away. I'll give you a clue. It is something elemental.
Oh, right. Water.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, a lot of people have guessed rain or a storm in the comments, which is similar to you thinking. And the beginning, it does sound a lot like a storm. And water, you're absolutely right, but it's a particular kind of water. And I think the real clue is in the line that she battered ship's ribs.
Battered ship's ribs? Battered ship's ribs. What's the rib of a ship?
Ships at the time, you know, Anglo-Saxon times, as the 9th, 10th centuries, they were made of wood, so they had a kind of rib-like structure.
Battered them. Oh, like rain or hail or snow, sleet.
Yeah, I mean, it talks about battles. So what kind of... is there a form of water you can think of that might defeat a ship?
Ice.
Yes.
Ice.
Yes, the answer is an iceberg.
Oh, an iceberg. Yeah. Cool.
Which is why it does that tricky thing of saying that my mother is also my daughter, because it's water, so it blesses the fields as rain, and then it swells up as a river, and then it gets bigger as ice, and then it's ship's ridge.
It was too far off.
You did really well. I wouldn't have got that. Not kidding. Would not have got that. I'm rubbish at riddles, and that's a particularly tricky one.
I think it's because, a lot of the riddle elements were of the different types of ice, you know, ice as water, ice as...
Yeah. So it's like a sword, yeah, icy sword, yeah. And driving with Matt guessed ice, and yeah.
Oh, nice.
Give yourself that one. That was a good one.
Cool.
Well done. So, thank you. And I hope that riddle was satisfying to everyone who's listening to this and didn't mind. Tell me, genuinely, tell me if you want me to stop with these Anglo-Saxon riddles. I just like the excuse. especially when there's just two of us. I feel like, let's go for a harder riddle so we can spend more time discussing it.
Exactly.
But you got it, and that was amazing. Good thinking there.
Well, not quite, but... Yeah. But, got a part way anyway. That's good.
Well, very good. Very good. 70 enjoyable. Riddles in total. I could keep going.
Oh, it's better than some of the rubbish ones that you find when I'm trying to look up a riddle. They're always rubbish.
Oh, yeah.
They're terrible. So definitely a lot better than that.
I mean, there's a couple of rubbish ones in here. There's one of them's like a one-line poem, and it's like, well, where is it? It basically is the answer. It's like, I'm a bucket. Like, that's not a riddle.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a sentence. I think they got confused when they wrote that one. But
do you think at some point we should do one of those, you know, those extended story riddles on A Little More Interesting? So it's like you have to answer like
brown
yes, no,
door and a red door, and the woman goes in the green door. Which
Well, like this is the scenario of what's happened. How did you get there? And you have to answer like yes, no questions and stuff.
Yeah, we should do that. Yeah, maybe as a whole episode.
It'd be fun.
Just because it would take us a whole episode just to figure out
to get a bloody thing right. Yeah, we could do that. I think that'd be cool.
Oh. Awesome.
Nice one. Well, thanks, Robin. This is good. In Alex's absence, I think we've done okay.
Yeah, hopefully he'll wake up.
Hopefully we've entertained people.
And get off TikTok. The man's giving all his data to China.
Yeah. Happily. Yeah.
Well, thank you all for listening, and we shall see you next week at the usual time of 9 p.m. GMT on... No, 9 p.m. BST. British summertime.
Yes, very
next
good.
Next Monday. On YouTube, streaming live, but of course it will then be available to all of our audio platforms of whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. And thank you again to all of our patrons and YouTube members. And you'll be getting your exclusive, a little more interesting, coming up later this week. And feel free to follow us on twitch.tv/just_interesting if you like watching us play games from time to time. And if you've missed our past Twitch streams, they are available or being made available on Just Games, second channel that we started just to upload our Twitch streams to, because they disappear after a fortnight on Twitch. So we thought it would be nice to keep them for posterity. So feel free to go over there and have a watch. And we'll see you next time.
Goodbye. Have a good week. Goodbye.